Good evening. I'm Danielle Woods, welcoming you to this live event. I'd like to thank everyone for taking some time this evening to join us. Tonight, Senator Judy Schwenk of the 11th Senatorial District will take your calls to answer questions about some of the changes you may have been experiencing regarding your water and sewer rates. Senator Schwenk will be joined by Pennsylvania consumer advocate Patrick Cicero, along with members of his staff, Christine Hoover and Aaron Gannon. As a reminder, if you have a question and would like to join the conversation, please press *3 on your keypad to participate. Again, if you have a question and would like to join the conversation, please press *3 on your keypad to participate. So without any further delay, let me welcome State Senator Judy Schwenk.
Thank you, Danielle. Good evening, everyone. I'm State Senator Judy Schwenk, and welcome to our telephone town hall for my friends and neighbors within the 11th Senate District in Berks County. I'd like to thank everyone who is taking time out of their busy schedule to participate in tonight's call. Whether you ask a question or you just want to listen to the conversation, I appreciate your engagement. Again, as Danielle mentioned, if you'd like to ask a question at any time during tonight's discussion, press *3 on your phone. And as Danielle said, tonight we're here to discuss the rate increases many of you have been experiencing. There have been some changes to water and sewer rates in portions of Berks County, so we're happy to take your questions. Actually, my office has received many complaints from constituents, especially those from Exeter Township, regarding the sale approved by their local township supervisors in 2019 of their municipally owned system to Pennsylvania American Water. What began as legislation aimed at helping struggling municipal sewer systems has since turned into an ongoing string of sales to private companies, which has been costly to consumers around the state and good for the balance of the water companies, but maybe not so much for us as consumers. That's why we're here today, to answer your questions about what has happened, what consumers can do now, and what can possibly be done to rein in these sales and rate increases in the future. To help protect consumers and give them a voice on issues such as these, the Pennsylvania Office of Consumer Advocate was established by the General Assembly all the way back in 1976 to represent the consumers of Pennsylvania and matters involving their utility services. So, to help me on this discussion, I am very pleased to welcome Pennsylvania's consumer advocate, Patrick Cicero, and his expert staff members to our discussion. Patrick, please introduce your staff and tell everyone a little bit about what your office does.
Senator, thank you for the opportunity to be here this evening. It's my pleasure to have this conversation and get to speak with your constituents and my fellow Pennsylvanians about things that are incredibly important to them, their continued ability to afford water and wastewater service that is essential to their well-being. As you mentioned, I am the consumer advocate. I have the privilege of being in this role for about 18 months. But my office has been around for almost 47 years. And the OCA is a state agency that represents the interests of consumers, as you indicated, before the Public Utility Commission on all utility matters that are regulated by the Public Utility Commission, not just water and wastewater, but electric and natural gas and telephone service as well. But in the context of water and wastewater cases, our office has been involved in all of the acquisition cases that involve Act 12 of 2016, also known as Section 1329 of the Public Utility Code, that has as you mentioned, implicated what's happening in Exeter Township. But we're also involved in the rate cases that come after that. We're going to talk about both of those components tonight. Before I go any further into what my office does and the role of our office in each of these cases, I want to introduce two members of the OCA staff. Our staff generally is comprised of lawyers, clerical staff, regulatory analysts, and others that help consumers. But I'm joined here today by Christine Hoover, who is the office's deputy consumer advocate, and Aaron Gannon, one of our senior assistant consumer advocates. I'll let Chris talk a little bit about herself and her role, as well as her experience with water and wastewater cases, and then we can turn it over to Aaron to introduce herself, too.
Sounds good. Thank you, Patrick, and thank you, Senator Schwenk. My name is Christine Maloney Hoover, and I've been at the Office of Consumer Advocates for over 35 years. really focusing mainly on water and wastewater. In my current role as a deputy, I try to help Patrick as much as I can, but we also develop the policy and OCA's approach in these cases, the rate cases and the 1329 cases.
Hi, my name is Erin Gannon. As I stated, I'm the Senior Assistant Consumer Advocate with the Consumer Advocate's Office. I've been there for 25 years this summer. I've had the pleasure of working with Chris Huber for most of that time on all utilities, and then most recently and specifically on these 1329 cases. We've talked to a lot of customers about their rates, and we're happy to answer more questions tonight.
I appreciate that. It's interesting to hear you say that you're focusing a lot of your time on these issues. So just for our comfort, for those of us from Berks County, we're not the only ones facing this, are we?
No, you're not. This is a problem that is, I mean, there's maybe a little comfort in the fact that other people are facing the same challenge, but this is a problem that is not unique to Berks County. Since 2015, when the law was passed, there have been 19 approved acquisitions across the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania bought by the two largest water and wastewater companies, and then one of those was by a slightly smaller water and wastewater utility. The vast majority of those 19 have been wastewater acquisitions, not water acquisitions. And so, you know, the challenge is being magnified pretty significantly as a result of each of these acquisitions. The total dollar amount of the sales across these 19 acquisitions is $856 million. The purchase price that was allowed to be put into rate base, allowed to be kind of upon which rates can be set. And our office has conservatively estimated that due to the incentives embedded in the statute in Act 12 of 2016, consumers are or will be required to pay $68 million more each and every year for water and wastewater service than they would have if 1329 or Act 12 had not existed. So this price increase that has occurred in Exeter Township is driven in large part by the fact of this acquisition and all the acquisitions that have come after it. And we can talk a little bit about what my colleague Chris talked about, that pancaking effect, the layering on of all of these acquisitions over top of rates as we move forward tonight. But you are not alone, and that actually creates part of the challenge, because every acquisition that comes after Exeter Township will only exacerbate or make the harm more acute, not only for Exeter Township water customers, but also Exeter Township wastewater customers and other customers in PAWC.
So each time there's an acquisition, you can expect your bill to get higher, possibly?
That's correct. And in fact, there are three pending acquisitions currently before the Public Utility Commission. And Chris, I don't know if you want to talk about, generally speaking, what those three are and what the projected impact just of these three may be for water and wastewater customers of Pennsylvania American Water.
Sure, I'll do that. And just so the rate increases will come in the next rate case, but we know what they are when the cases are filed, the application cases, because, and that's the notice that customers often see in their bill. So currently, Pennsylvania American Water has pending three acquisitions, one for the borough of Brentwood, one for the Butler Area Sewer Authority, and one for Town Benson. The purchase price of all three is about $355 million, with Butler Area being by far the largest component of that. But the annual revenue deficiency, like what other customers may have to bear a part of, is about almost $19 million. So those three acquisitions will be part of that layering effect that the current customer will see in the next rate case. As this is part of an impact for a water customer at an average level, so if you're a higher usage customer, the impact on your bill will be bigger, and Erin will talk about that. The cumulative impact of those three would be about $77 a month for water customers, but about $11 for wastewater customers. And so
you mean 77 cents.
Oh, sorry, did I say all of
you? You did.
Okay.
Yeah. 77 cents a month for water customers. $11 for wastewater
customers. Oh, my goodness, yeah. Thanks for the correction. 77 cents for water a month and about $11 a month for the wastewater bill for an average usage customer.
And that's an average increase for wastewater customers of about 10% across each all three of those. And that's the thing that I really want to impress upon callers is none of those systems are connected to Exeter Township.
No.
Or, you know, they're not. It's not as if these are improvements that are being made to PwC's services in that township. But it's the way that this legislation has an effect on customers, because all of these increases, when they're incentivized to purchase these systems at higher prices, they are allowed to recover the cost to meet that which they put into their rate base. And as Chris mentioned, in the cases where they're making the acquisitions, that's when we have a chance to fight about how much is there. But when we get to the rate case, we don't get a chance to fight about that anymore. Just who shares the pain of these acquisitions that have already been approved by the Public Utility Commission. So it's a real challenge when we get into the rate case. Now, we can talk about this kind of divide and conquer effect that has been happening as a result of these application cases kind of stacking up, and then what happens in a rate case as we move forward this evening. But I just wanted to note that, again, it's a 10% increase for these acquisitions alone that are pending.
Wow. So I appreciate that background that all of you have given us, because I think that sets the stage for the questions that some of the callers might have. So Danielle, if we have a caller, can you ask them to come on?
Of course, and we do have some callers lined up. And again, if you are just joining us, press star 3 on your phone to ask a question. Right now we're going to Kathleen. Kathleen, you are live with Senator Schwenk.
Okay, I missed some of the talking. I was on hold or something. So I was just wondering, in reference to the sewer versus water, we're charged by the water that comes into the house, but we have a well. So we get, seems like a really high rate for just the sewer, and you're saying like it's only 10%, but it's jumped 3 times per month, you know, the rate that we pay versus what we do pay. So I don't know if you're addressing that or not, or if that's in the acquisitions at all. Or
yeah, thank you for that question. I think I'll let one of either Chris or Aaron talk about the specifics of this. And I just want to be clear, we think 10% is a lot, so I don't want anybody to be misled that the idea that it's only 10%. It's a lot. We presented that to say that that was simply as a result of the pending cases that are currently going on, that rates are projected to go up by that much. I want to be clear that that would happen in whenever PAWC files the next rate case. And it's in those rate cases where things like rate design, meaning how rates are charged to customers, are hashed out. And I think what you're talking about is the rate design for sewer customers who have don't have water from PAWC and don't have metered water service. You have well service. And since there's no meter on your sewer service, PwC has to use kind of a proxy or some other gauge for what they're charging you for sewer service. So Chris and Aaron, I don't know if one of you wants to explain that a little more.
Sure. This is Aaron. So that would be a flat rate for service when they don't have your water service metered, and so they typically will. That flat rate will be based on what an average user on the system uses, and they make an assumption about what that is. So that is a disadvantage in that you aren't able to control your bill. You're not able to reduce the amount of volumes that you use and have that make an impact on what your sewer bill is. A broader issue in terms of designing rates for water and wastewater, not really specific to these acquisitions, but just something that comes up in every rate case when we look at that and we talk to customers who have flat rates. So that is something that our office does look at and makes recommendations about what that flat rate should be to try to be as fair as possible. I get a lot of questions from people about why you don't have sewer meters, and without getting into all the details on that, basically the cost of installing and maintaining and reading those meters would kind of offset the benefit of tracking your actual usage, so it probably would not have a great cost advantage for you, and also sewer meters are not particularly accurate. So those are some of the logistical reasons why they don't install sewer meters. But we just want to assure you that that is something that we look at, and we make a recommendation. We don't get to decide what that is, but we do make recommendations in every rate case for what that level rate should be.
Does that help, Kathleen? Okay, she may have hung up. So, yeah, that's interesting. Let me add an ancillary to her question. So if I water my garden from my well, that is figured into, I mean, it's going into the ground. It's not going into the, you know, into the sewage system. And they are also charging me for that, too. It's figured into their algorithm or formula.
Yes, it generally is. Now, of course, this tends to be more seasonal,
right.
And that is something that we have looked at in recent cases with the utilities, not specifically recently with Pennsylvania American, but that is something that we do look at as to, and some utilities have a deduct metering where they will allow some subtraction, or they will offer some credits, for example, if someone fills up a swimming pool.
Right.
But that's more of a kind of one-off, and that's not the way that the rates are generally structured.
Okay, I understand that better then. Can we go to another caller, please?
Of course. Let's go to Tom in Reading. Tom, you are live with the Senator.
Yeah, hello.
Hello, Tom. Go ahead.
No, I was wondering how come the water's so high for my... I'm a single person, has a big house, but my water bill's kind of high for one person. And that's my companion.
We would be... One of the things that I'll say, Tom, to you and other callers on the call is we would be happy to kind of walk through the specifics of your water bill if you have questions about it, about whether usage is high or too high, or whether you're being charged the right rate.
I'm being charged right, because I talked to some of the people around here. They pay a lot more than I'm paying because they have a couple kids in the house and stuff like that. I was wondering, don't they give like senior citizens like a little discount or something?
They don't do that. Let me address a couple of things, Tom, that maybe answer your question. First of all, what I would say to you and any other caller who has specifics about their bill, our office would be happy to walk through it with you. I'll give it a couple times, but I'll start giving it now. I'll give you the 800 number for our office. It is 1-800-684-6560. That's 1-800-684-6560, and you can call us anytime between 8:30 and 4:30 Monday through Friday, and we'll be able to walk through folks' bills with them. To answer the specifics of your question, one of the reasons why bills are higher after Pennsylvania American Water acquired the system is in part because they are an investor-owned utility, and so they earn a rate of return, a higher rate of return for their shareholders than Exeter Township did. Exeter Township didn't have shareholders. They had to pay debt, service. They had to cover their costs. PA American Water has to cover their costs, plus get a return for shareholders. There are supposed to be, with large enough systems, economies of scale. Because of the way these acquisitions have happened, that has not tended to work out like it was promised to have worked out. So among the reasons why kind of this regulated water is higher is for water customers and wastewater customers, there is this return on equity, there's this equity component in the bills. The other reason that water customers' bills are higher for regulated public utilities is that another section of the Public Utility Code actually allows for the Public Utility Commission to shift some of the wastewater costs over to water customers. So every Pennsylvania American water customer is actually paying for some wastewater costs of other PA American Water wastewater customers as a result of this kind of shifting of costs. And that's because the costs for those wastewater customers would be too high to bear. That's what the system has allowed. But it really creates a situation where water customers are not only paying for their own improvements, their own system, but also for wastewater costs, even if they have a septic system or, in many cases, a separate wastewater utility. They don't have senior discounts. Pennsylvania American Water does have a bill discount program for low-income individuals, which provides a discount on your bill. And if you have any questions about that or any other caller has any questions about that, our office could help answer questions about where to, you know, folks can go to apply for the bill discount program that Pennsylvania American Water has.
Hope that helps.
We're 19. Hello?
Hello?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Got hired in the last 2 years. Before they were seeking pretty good. And then the COVID-19 happened, it seemed like that's when the bills started to go up a little bit higher than usually.
Yeah, well, I think for Pennsylvania American Water, 3 of the last 4 years they've had rate increases as a result of the last two rate cases. The rate case that they filed in 2020 would have had a rate increase in 2021 and 2022, and then their most recent rate case had a rate increase here in the beginning of 2023. And so that has resulted in kind of stepped increases, some of which have been pretty significant because of bringing in not only Exeter Township's acquisition, but all of the other acquisitions that have happened, as well as their other improvements and costs that they're making.
Thank you, Tom. We're going to go on to another caller then.
Okay, let's go to Renee from Reading. Renee, you are live with the Senator.
Hi, Renee. Are you there? I hope Renee didn't hang up.
Okay, well, we do have a lot of questions coming in, so let's go to Craig now from Birdsboro. Craig, you are live with the Senator.
Hi, Craig. Hi, good evening. Hi, how are you doing?
Good.
Hey, so my question revolves around the app itself, and I'm sure it wasn't intended to be the disaster it is, at least for consumers. Is there, what is going to be done to either repeal the tax or modify it or cap some of these rate increases or petitions to the PUC to, you know, have rate increases. Curious about that.
Yeah, Craig, that's, you know, certainly something, you know, when we started getting all of these calls and understanding exactly what was happening, we as legislators, you know, started to look into this as to what we could do to change this. The original legislation was intended to help failing systems, and it was presented as something that would be a benefit to people who might lose water service or sewer service. And it's not exactly worked out that way, unfortunately. But now that we know what the impacts have been, there has been some legislation that's been introduced. I can't tell you exactly where it is right now or what will happen with it, but, for example, there's one bill that would study the effects of Act 12, which is, you know, what helped precipitate this issue, and also we're looking at possibly a moratorium on sales, on future sales of water systems until, you know, this can be, better accommodated. Other bills would be notification and public hearing, clarification of what the public benefit would be of a particular sale, so understanding, you know, why does this need to happen? Is there a real reason, or is it simply a way for a municipality to shift costs, and then as a result, you know, leaving their constituents kind of at the mercy of these companies? Something that has been introduced is predatory pricing repeal, kind of trying to eliminate that pancaking impact that we talked about. And I have also introduced issued a co-sponsorship memo that would establish a referendum approval by the customers of the municipal system before they could possibly, before the township could make that sale. So those are some of the things that are out there. Patrick, I know you've heard or talked about this, you know, we met and we've been talking with the consumer advocate. Maybe you could chime in there too.
Yeah, I think all of the ideas that either are kind of currently out there as co-sponsorship memos or legislation would make improvements. I mean, honestly, our office's priority is repeal of this statute. As the senator indicated, this statute was certainly sold by the water and wastewater utilities as necessary to help troubled systems. The problem is they haven't used it at all to buy troubled systems.
Yeah.
I mean, Exeter Township wasn't a troubled system, and in fact, none of the 19 systems that have been approved by the Public Utility Commission have been troubled. And so they bought healthy systems at inflated prices and passed the cost on to ratepayers. And that is not, in our judgment, good public policy, right? And so our office's priority would be repeal. In the absence of repeal, there certainly needs to be kind of ways to rein in future impact. And one such idea is to limit the amount of dollars that are above and beyond what they could have paid for the system prior to 2016 that will go into the rates that will be charged to all other customers. I mean, in any buying and selling situation, sometimes companies pay more than they need to for a system, but then they should eat those costs. Here, what happens is the utility doesn't eat the cost at all. Ratepayers do. And so some of the ideas we have are about limiting the rate impact, the ability of the public utility to impose these costs on other customers. So, you know, it's going to take some work in the General Assembly for that to happen, but I certainly agree with the caller that repeal would be the best possible solution in terms of mitigating or stemming any impact from future acquisitions by the American Water.
That would be the ultimate solution. So going forward, at the very least, this situation would not be as difficult as it is. I hope that's helpful. Danielle, can we go on to? Thank you. Can we go on to another caller then?
Yes, let's go to Paulson from Reading. Paulson, you are live with the senator.
Good evening, Paulson.
Hello, I'm sorry. My question is very simple because the price keep going up. It's almost like every month. So that's why I want to know, like, what can you do for us, like, to stop this?
Well, long term, again, our office is committed to trying to ensure that any future acquisitions that will harm existing customers don't go through if they're not kind of in, there's no affirmative public benefit, if there's no benefit to ratepayers, consumers, and the public. So far, that strategy has not made headway at the Public Utility Commission. They've approved every application, notwithstanding our protest. In rate cases, the issue really is about how we fight to ensure that utilities' rates are no higher than they're supposed to be, and that has been a significant challenge because in these rate cases, they're pitting water customers and wastewater customers as against each other in terms of their needs and shifting costs between the two groups of customers. Our office files voluminous testimony in each of those cases about what should be the allowed return, what is the revenue requirement that is actually needed. And we'll continue to do that in each and every case coming forward. We're not aware of there's not currently a pending Pennsylvania American Water rate case. I think the one thing I would say, and I'll go through this line here in a second and see if Chris or Aaron have anything else to add, but the one thing I'll say is for customers who are struggling to pay their bills, I did mention that there is a bill discount program for low-income customers, but I would also mention that there is budget billing that allow, the caller mentioned that they're having trouble with depending on how much they're using in any given month, they go up and down and it seems to increase or fluctuate. Budget billing is a way to smooth out some of these payments. If you have higher water usage in the summer because of external water usage and lower in the winter or there's some reason why it's fluctuating, you have the ability to enter into a budget billing situation where essentially smooths out your payments over the 12 months with some catch-up every few months. The other thing I would say is if you're behind on your bills, every customer is entitled to a payment arrangement. The length of that payment arrangement depends on your income, but every customer in Pennsylvania, a residential customer in Pennsylvania, is entitled to at least 6 months to pay off past due balances and as many as 60 months or 5 years, depending on their income level. So if anybody has any questions about that, if you're behind on your bill and you have questions about budget billing or the low-income discount program or a payment arrangement, please reach out to our office. And again, just for everyone's benefit, that number is 1-800-684-6560. But do either of you have anything else you want to add about ways to kind of rein in rate increases or what we're doing to help consumers?
Well, what I wanted to mention was that we've talked about some of the things we're trying to do with regard to changing 1329 or repealing 1329 going forward. But what our office really needs right now is we're in these acquisition cases, we're in these rate cases, and we need to show the Public Utility Commission the impact that it's having on customers. So what customers can do is to keep an eye out. You will get a notice each time Pennsylvania American proposes to acquire a system, and you will get a notice from the company with your bill. If you have electronic billing, it'll be electronic. If you get paper bill, you'll get a paper notice, but they are required to notify you directly in writing about their rate increases, proposed rate increases also. So please keep an eye out for those. You will not, however, get direct notice when there are public input hearings where customers can testify, and that's what we really need is when the Public Utility Commission has public input hearings regarding an acquisition or regarding the subsequent rate case where the rates are increasing because of the acquisitions. We need to build a record so that we can make our arguments to the commission about, you know, what we think is the best thing for customers. So please keep an eye out for those notices. They will be, the companies are required to make some postings on social media, but also you can contact our office through our website or through our phone number. We do send out emails with information about signing up for public input hearings. So that's a good way to either follow up on social media or to call our office, get on our email list, email our office to get on the email list, and then you will get a direct notice about the public input hearing, but that's really the only way to do it because the utility is not required to provide that notice to you. And I just wanted to mention, when you do see a notice from the company about the impact a particular acquisition might have, they just provide a calculation for the quote average customer. So if you use, if they say, for example, for this the most current acquisition that's already underway for the Butler Area Sewer Authority, they're giving you percentage increases for the average customer using so many gallons a month. It's 3,000 some gallons per month. But if you're using more than that, the increase on your bill is going to be more. So we just want people to understand that. But again, just try to stay aware and look out for these public input hearings. And our office can also offer tips and assistance on helpful things to say. But we want you to talk about, the impact that what has already happened is having on you. Because, again, we've had these 19 acquisitions so far, but we've got, many more in the pipeline and then, future ones, and we're trying to do something about the future, but we're worried about the impact that's already happened. So we want you to talk about that and help us create a record.
So Erin, let me clarify that a little bit, because I'm sure there's a lot of people here who would write a letter or, tell you what their experience has been. Can they do that now, even though there may not be a rate case before the PUC? Will you, as the Consumer Advocate's Office, aggregate those letters and use those? Or do you need them to be only specifically when there is a rate case coming forward from the PUC?
I would just say I think the testimony is better, and we could collect that information and create, to the extent customers are asking, put them on our mailing list to make sure they know about when a rate case is coming in. Our experts may be able to use that to help inform their judgment, but none of that is going to be evidence that is admissible for the Public Utility Commission. It looks like Chris is...
So I just want to mention, because there are three pending cases, there will be three public input hearings at a minimum, and that will be an opportunity for customers to testify about the impact these other acquisitions have already had and their concerns about the acquisitions, the three that are pending. So contacting our office, getting on our email list, we're happy to let people know when those are scheduled.
That's important. That's important information to have. I've testified myself, so I know when those, you know, those hearings are being held. And there are many, many people who sign up to do this. Prior to the pandemic, they were in, some of them were in person, actually. But since then, most of them have been via telephone. I'm not sure if they'll still be that way or, you know, it might be more convenient for people. But that's certainly a way for you to at least make your case as to what impact this is having upon you. Thanks for getting us straight on that.
Well, we'll make sure to send your office. We always try to send as a legislative bulletin about the public input hearing so that you can use that to put up on your social media feed as well as your website and your weekly newsletter to consumers about these public input hearings. The public input hearings for the pending acquisitions often happen really fast, right? So we don't have a current schedule on any of them yet. But as soon as we know when they're happening, we'll make sure to let your office know and begin broadcasting.
We can certainly make that available, you know, via our, we have a newsletter every 3 weeks, but we also, you know, post on Facebook or on Twitter, so that information, you can call us too. So, okay. All right, Danielle, can you go to another question? These are involved, so it takes a little bit of time for the answers. I apologize if we're not getting to enough people.
Yes, but we do want to send out the reminder that at any time you can press *3 on your phone if you would like to ask a question. And right now we are going to go to Richard in Birdsboro. Richard, you are live with the Senator.
Hi, good evening. Senator, thank you for having this town hall. And also, I'm going to ask my question. I have to go into a council meeting, not in Exeter. So I may have to hang up after I ask it. I'm a sewer-only connection in Exeter. I have a well. And a year or two before the sale to Pennsylvania American, Exeter Township came in and metered, I believe, most of the sewer-only connections in the township. Prior to that, we've been getting, you know, periodic bills, quarterly bills and what have you, based on estimated usage. But then Pennsylvania American purchased, and we were billed on our use. And I have outside landscaping, animals, and other uses that don't go into the sewer system, and I started getting hundreds of dollars a month in increased bills for that use. And I contacted the township, who used to give us, if you gave them a notice, like if you were filling a pool or something like that, they would give you a one-time deduct or a couple of times a year to account for that excess use, but Pennsylvania American does not. Pennsylvania American also has not, and I've requested several times to have a deduct meter installed, and they will not. So my hope is that you will get the act repealed, but that repeals protects us from future increases, but what can be done to assist those of us who have already been billed thousands of dollars in sewer fees for water that doesn't even enter the system? That's my question. Thank you.
Thank you for that question, and I mentioned deduct metering before. That is something that we hear from customers about, and what I would recommend is that when Pennsylvania American has its next base rate case, which will not be too far in the future, that you testify, and when we can show the commission, you know, our expert has typically made, we have an engineer who helps us and looks at this, we have someone who looks at the rate design. And we have made recommendations about this deduct metering issue. In fact, some of the acquired systems are permitted to have deduct metering, but it is not available to all of the systems. And so it's very helpful to us when we can point to specific on-the-record testimony and you know, point to people that have this situation and how much it's impacting them when we're making recommendations to the commission to make a change.
Hope that's helpful. Okay, can we go to another caller then?
Yes, let's go to Andrew in Exeter. Andrew, you are live with the senator.
Hi, Andrew.
Hi. My question was going to be when a flow is revealed, what happens to the sewer system, but it sounds like if that's revealed, the rates just get frozen. Is that right?
They won't get frozen. What it'll mean is, so the sewer system, Exeter Township sewer system is now owned by Pennsylvania American Water. That's not going to change unless somebody decides to buy Pennsylvania American Water. And you know, there's no way to undo that. What repealing the act would do is it would kind of slow future rate increase harm as a result of acquisitions of other systems. What it won't do, however, is slow what I would consider to be general rate increase harm. You know, once you are being served by a water and wastewater utility that is regulated by the Public Utility Commission, or even if it's not, they have capital expenditures and other requirements for, you know, treatment expenses that have them come in every 1, 2, 3, 4 years. There's no necessarily a schedule for that. I mean, PWC's pattern seems to be 2 to 3 years. Every 2 to 3 years they come in. They will still likely come in every 2 to 3 years. If they're not acquiring as many systems, that may slow down, because one of the reasons they're coming in more frequently is they want to bring all of those acquired systems into rates. But rates won't be frozen for any period of time other than the period between rate cases, irrespective of whether the act is repealed or it's not repealed. It's just a matter of how, whether or not they'll be layered on top of what would be ordinary rate increases, additional rate increases as a result of those acquisitions.
So you wouldn't be paying, you wouldn't be absorbing the cost of the company acquiring those other municipal systems.
Correct. For example, if you know, Act 12 were repealed on January 1, 2023, if it had been repealed at that time, these three pending acquisitions, which alone are projected to increase wastewater rates by 10%, would not happen. Those acquisitions would not increase wastewater rates by 10%. When PwC came in for another rate case, they would otherwise be proposing a rate increase that would include, again, their general capital expenditures, operation and maintenance increases that are normally a part of rate cases, but it would not include the cost of the systems that they were acquiring. Yes, Erin?
Just to clarify, though, these acquisitions could still happen. They just wouldn't happen at this extremely higher cost. So they still could be acquiring systems and growing the number of customers that they have to share costs with. It just, if there was no 1329, it wouldn't be at these exorbitant prices.
Yeah, and that's an important point. Even in the context of Exeter Township, you know, they acquired the system and were allowed to put it into their rate base in excess of $90 million, whereas prior to 2016, if they had acquired it, they would have bought it for $40 million,
mm-hmm.
right? And at $40 million, the rates that Exeter Township was paying, our office projected, would cover the cost. So it wouldn't add to everyone else's cost. But at $90 million, there's a gap. And so that gap is what is increasing rates for customers. So it's much less likely if they were buying it at the pre-2016 rates that there would be that gap. It still could exist, but it would be much less likely.
And that's what makes these sales so attractive, right, to local elected officials, because you're getting more money from your system than it's actually worth, correct?
Yes. It is a win for the municipality. It is a win for the utility, and it is a loss for ratepayers and consumers.
That boils it right down. Thank you very much for that question. Danielle, can we continue to take some questions?
Of course. Let's go to Linda. Linda, you are live with the senator.
Hi, Linda. Linda, are you there?
No worries. We can go over to Ron. Ron, you are live with the senator.
Hello, Ron. Go ahead.
Hi there. My question is more about the accountability than anything. It appears that we're almost a product of a monopoly, and it seems like this company can continually be very aggressive with the buying, and there's no control because it's all passed on to the user. I'm wondering about the PUC and how they're advocating for us as consumers more than advocating for American water. It seems like we're almost orphans out there.
Good question. Patrick?
Well, Ron, it is, it's a really astute observation. The Pennsylvania American Water and its competitors, it does have competitors who are buying these systems as well, again, have made 19 applications. All of them have been approved. Our office has opposed every single one of them. Some of them we've settled because we've been able to work out arrangements that have mitigated some of the harm. But for the most part, they've been opposed. And the Public Utility Commission has approved each and every one of them. Now, my colleague Chris Hoover just yesterday argued in Commonwealth Court about a pending application that involved a suburban Philadelphia acquisition that is with one of Pennsylvania American Water's competitors, Aqua, buying East Whiteland Township. We contested that, and we challenged the Public Utility Commission's order because of the way they made a determination in that case. We were afraid that if that determination stands, there is very little that can be done to stop some of these acquisitions because of the way they made a legal decision in the case. Our argument is the Public Utility Code has protections in it. The Public Utility Commission is required in each and every case to make a determination based on the facts that this acquisition, whatever this acquisition is, creates an affirmative public benefit. And they must consider potential future rate harm or rate increases to consumers in making that determination. So we're fighting in not only at the Public Utility Commission, but also in court about the standards that the Public Utility Commission has to use in judging each of these cases. I share your concern about kind of the way these cases have been adjudicated so far. Our office is in each of them fighting on behalf of consumers, but we've not necessarily been successful in having any of the application cases denied thus far. Part of that has to do with, honestly, the way the law is written, and it's really challenging. And so the best case scenario is repeal of this particular statute. It was, in my judgment, not needed in 2016. And it certainly isn't needed in 2023.
Thank you. Any other callers, Danielle?
Oh, yes, we have lots more callers. Let's go to Kathleen in Exeter. Kathleen, you are live with the senator.
Thanks, Kathleen. Hello.
All right. Let's keep on moving, I guess. Let's go to Eva. Eva, you are live with the senator.
Hello, Eva.
Can you hear me?
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you for hosting it. I hope that we can have some more of these town halls and easier to join. So far, I've heard two things. We are taking some steps to change legislation to stop future acquisitions. In addition, stopping future rate increases by testifying when there is, rate increases and letters are sent. In the case of Exeter Township, for a family of four, we're paying $460 a month for water. What can we do now to reduce our rate besides collecting rainwater, of course, which is not feasible at this point because we haven't had rain in days? We really need to, I guess, the public commission to look after the residents and how they're getting hit on their monthly bills, because this is one of the highest monthly bills, and for water to be the highest monthly bill is a crime. We don't live in third world countries.
Yeah, Eva, I share your frustration and concern. I mean, that's an incredible monthly expense. And I think part of what needs to happen is a continued public awareness about the harm that occurs as a result of such high bills. As my colleague Aaron mentioned, having testimony from you and others in the next Pennsylvania American Water rate case about just the dollar amount that is being paid. And again, as the senator indicated, it doesn't probably give you much solace to know that you're not alone. But across the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, if you get your water and wastewater service from the two largest water and wastewater providers, you are paying more each month for water and wastewater than you pay for electricity and a way to heat your home. That didn't used to be the case. And there are far more well-developed programs to assist consumers for electricity and a way to heat your home than there are for water and wastewater. And so there are, again, as I indicated, for moderate low-income households, bill discount programs that allow households to get a reduction on their bill. There are water conservation measures that can be taken. Certainly, you will want to ensure that you're with a bill that's that high that you're not facing something like a leak or anything like that, and making sure that toilets are not running. There are kind of limited options given how expensive some of these rates are. And so from our office's perspective, the most critical thing that can be done is our continued advocacy about the need for rate help and rate mitigation at the Public Utility Commission. I don't know if either of you have any other kind of suggestions for what to do in the meantime with water conservation.
So I would certainly, as Patrick indicated, look at some water conservation measures that you can take. But I would reach out, you might want to reach out to PAWC to talk to them to see if they have any usage reduction tools or kits that they could provide. Sometimes they provide those as part of assistance with low-income customers, but they may provide that to you because obviously you have a pretty hefty bill, and for a family of four, your usage level might be in a normal range, but it would be worth checking with them, and I'm sure they have some tips on their website as well for usage conservation. But again, water is essential for you and your family, so there's only so much conservation that you're going to be able to do. We'd be happy to talk to you if you want to call our office or email us separately or independently. We'd be happy to help you on that.
I hope that's helpful. Thank you for calling in. Danielle, do we have another caller? I don't know how long we can stay on.
Yes, Senator, we're going to do three more calls, if that's cool.
Okay. Great. Thank you.
Okay, let's go to Rose. Rose, you are live with the Senator.
Hi, Rose.
Okay, let's try Ivy. Ivy, you are live with the Senator.
Hi, thank you. I don't have a question, but I have a comment that I'm hoping that maybe you could find out if it's still the case, because if it is, I think it could save a lot of people some money. When they first made us put the meter in, we have a well. Prior to that, you always had an outside line that was never metered. And when they came in to put the meter in, PA American Water, they put the outside line on the meter. And I called, and it was still when Exeter Township was somewhat involved. And I got someone that said that due to something in the pages of grandfathering, that every Exeter resident with a well is entitled to a free outside water line. And to people with kids, that's when you're paying the price of a car payment for your water and telling your kids they can't use the hose, that it makes a difference. But I don't know if that's something that you can look into, because I had to probably make about 15 calls. I had the township out to the house. I did get my outside line bypassed by the meter, and it was approved by PA American Water. That's who put the line in. That's who put the meter in. So, I mean, that if that is the case, if that's hidden in the pages of something that's grandfathered and is still the case, shouldn't that be for everyone? You shouldn't have to call and beg for that. It should just be. That's all I have.
Thanks, Ann. Go ahead.
Thank you. Yes, I think that I don't think that that is in the pages of their tariff now. As I mentioned, it is something that we have raised, and definitely that's something that we can look at and make recommendations about in the next base rate case. Now, I think it's pretty much entirely up to the company's discretion. And there's also a concern when you're doing something just based on discretion and it's not in their tariff and in their approved rules, you know, they don't want to give that to everyone, because obviously then they're not collecting on that water usage, and that doesn't, it impacts the company's bottom line. It also impacts other customers. So it's a tricky situation, but it is something that we have looked at, and we will continue to make recommendations. And again, having customers testify about that concern and testify that that's something that they want to have and that they're concerned about having is definitely something that you want to make your voice heard in the public input hearings.
And Ivy, if you're still on the phone, can I ask a clarifying question? Did you get that exemption from Exeter Township, and do you still believe you have it from PAWC?
We actually lost Ivy.
Oh.
Sorry.
So, Ivy, if you're still listening, if you could follow up with our office at 1-800-684-6560, we kind of like to figure out the facts on that to see if there are, you know, if you're still getting it. There may well be folks who, at the time the acquisition happened, they were able to keep something for some period of time, but that is an interesting wrinkle, and as Aaron said, with the deduct metering, we're continuing to push that, because it doesn't only affect PA American Water, it kind of affects, broadly speaking, lots of people in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania who may have, you know, seasonal usage that is impacting their, you know, isn't really going down their sewer system.
And talking about these issues at these public input hearings for the acquisition is important, because it shows the commission some of the things that customers might lose by having their municipal system acquired by Pennsylvania American.
That's a really good point, Chris, and I think that that needs to be highlighted, that if you like, or your neighbors, you know, in neighboring municipalities like what they currently have in terms of their access to the municipality, or what they have lost, what you've already lost with getting bought by PWC from Exeter Township, that kind of testimony can have a real impact at public input hearings, because the commission is supposed to balance, again, whether there's an affirmative public benefit, whether the benefits of this outweigh any harms associated with the acquisition. And so it's a really important point that if there are things like that that you're getting currently that you might lose, it's important to testify about that.
Good point. Any other questions? Callers?
Senator, let's go to our last caller for the night. This is Chuck. Chuck, you are live with the Senator.
Hi, Chuck.
Thank you. Good evening, Senator. I submitted 4 questions through somebody in your office, and post-taking calls, are you going to be addressing any of those questions? And if not, I'll gladly pose, I think, sort of a summation question to you.
You actually did submit some very good questions, Chuck, 4 of them, and we do have them in front of us. I don't know if we have the time to address all of them. They're fairly comprehensive What do you think, Patrick?
Well, I think what I would say is, Chuck, if you're willing to address the summation question, we can answer that. And again, if you want to talk about each of these questions, we'll be happy to you know, talk with you if you want to call our office about this. And we may be able to provide some kind of narrative responses to these that the senator could post if they're of interest to other residents in your kind of in your district.
We could do that. Your questions are lost, Chuck.
Let me pose one summation question, though, that I, if I could, please, after hearing the questions you have taken and the responses. The, I think for me it sums up or sums down maybe to the Federal Public Utility Act. I don't know what its status is, but the whole term public utility means public benefit in my belief, and that seems to have become lost in this whole episode through Pennsylvania and these utility rate questions. My thought at the moment is, I believe the consumer advocate mentioned that, I apologize if I'm using some inaccurate application of terminology here, but it sort of sounded like the Exeter system, if fairly valued, would have been sold for $40 million, but it was sold for $90-plus million. So that's $50 million excess dollars that, in my view, the public utility, Pennsylvania Utility Commission, should not have allowed to had been applied in this 2016 law change, regardless of what crazy things this law seems to have allowed. If Exeter Township has not yet spent that excess $50 million, or some portion of it, could Exeter Township pay back that money to public, to PA Water, and therefore force the rate structure to come down, and could other similar townships in this acquisition debacle do the same thing with any excess funds they have available? That's basically it. I'll be glad to talk to either Senator Schwenk's office to further follow up with other issues or with the Consumer Advocate's office.
Well, thank you, Chuck. And let me just answer something you actually didn't ask first, which is you are correct about those numbers, $40 million versus $90 million. The problem is what the 2016 law did was it actually created a structure where it is a thumbs up or thumbs down by the Public Utility Commission in terms of if they determine that this acquisition is in the public interest, and the utility goes through the exercise of properly valuing the system through under the guise of the law, then they get to put into rates either the lesser of the purchase price or the average of the appraisals, two appraisals, a buyer appraisal and a seller appraisal, whichever of those two is less. That's what they get to put into rates. And so if the commission says, yes, this is in the affirmative public, there's an affirmative public benefit, and there aren't any adjustments in those appraisals, then they don't actually have the ability to kind of put downward pressure on those prices. And that's part of the problem. That's why we have to get them to, like, give more scrutiny to the applications themselves. In addressing the question that you asked, Exeter Township certainly could make a donation to Pennsylvania American Water, but it would not have any effect on the rates. And so we would encourage them not to do that. The better approach would be with the $50 million or with the $90 million that Exeter Township has, or with any other dollars that Exeter Township has, they could provide assistance to their constituents in the township in the form of grants administered by the township. They could send money out to every household in the township if they wanted to help on a monthly basis, a yearly basis, or a quarterly basis with water and wastewater bills that were risen as a result of their acquisition. So they control that money. They control any of the revenue that comes in from all of their sources and could choose, if they wanted to, outside of the Public Utility Commission, to provide assistance to ratepayers.
Thank you, Chuck. And thank you, Patrick, for the suggestion that you made that there are other possibilities. There's a different way of looking at that in terms of that difference between the actual value of the system and what the municipality receives.
Correct.
Right? Okay. So I think we're at the end of our questions, correct, Danielle?
We are finished for the night. You can take it away, Senator.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I really feel this has been a great discussion. We could have gone on much longer, but I don't think I can hold Patrick and Aaron and Christine in my office much longer. We're coming to you, by the way, from Harrisburg, the fourth floor of the main Capitol building. So they, you know, very kindly agreed to join us this evening to offer their expert information. We really appreciate the work you've been doing on our behalf, so thank you from me and from our constituents. And thank you to everyone who participated in our town hall discussion, whether you called a question in or whether you were just listening. And if you didn't have a chance to ask the question, please remain on the line. You'll be able to leave your question on a voicemail in my office, and we will get back to you, or we'll directly send that over to Patrick's office. There is no voicemail, I'm understanding. So if you do have a question, don't call now. There's nobody back in Reading to answer that question. But you can call tomorrow or email us, or what's your number again, Patrick?
You can call us at 1-800-684-6560, or if you would prefer, you can email us at consumer, that's C-O-N-S-U-M-E-R, at paoca.org. So it's consumer at paoca.org or 1-800-684-6560.
We'll put that information on my website, senatorschwank.com, or call our office, and we'll be able to give you that information. Again, I really appreciate your participation. Are there other topics that you'd like to discuss in a live town hall or a telephone town hall? We're happy to do that. Thank you to everyone.
Senator?
Who helps with this as well.
Senator?
Yes?
I do want to throw in there the voicemail at the end of this call, that is not with the district office, but people will be able to still leave a voicemail if they just hang on to the line.
Okay, I'm confusing everybody now. So it is not going to our office. It's actually going to another line.
Correct.
You know how to reach me. You always do. So we'll be happy to help any way that we can. Thank you, everyone, and good night.